All I can say is praise the Lord. Amen. Well, it's a great joy to stand before you, brethren. I come now from Colorado. The last 25 years, I dwell in Colorado, in Denver, and there are also a number of brethren fellowships, and I had the joy in the last few weeks to present the Word of God before them. My first meeting there was a month ago, and they have invited a rabbi to that meeting. He says he is a rabbi. Now, what kind of a rabbi he was, it doesn't matter. He gave me his calling card saying, Rabbi such and such. All right. Who brought him to the meeting? A Catholic nun. Rabbi and a Catholic nun. How does it work? But some of the brethren knew him from the past, and they were those who invited him. They wanted to hear another Jewish brother to speak. No. Okay, I am still a Jew. Once a Jew, always a Jew, they say. Could not. But I am a forgiven Jew. Praise God for that. My Jewish brethren don't know whether they are forgiven or not. And I'll touch on this subject. Now, what I want to share here, I have shared the message on the spiritual meaning of the Feast of the Lord, which each one of them has a spiritual meaning. Some of them were fulfilled, some were not yet fulfilled. Till the Lord comes, He will fulfill them all. Amen? Because He is a God who all His promises are yea and amen. And so shortly, I was touched myself when I share the Word of God. I am touched. The Spirit of God speaks to me also. When you read the Word of God and you share it, you cannot just be, not the Word of God, that the Word of God wouldn't touch you. Because I am a Jew, I was born a Jew. The Lord saved me May 15, 1955. So it's many years ago. But then, after I became a believer, I started really searching the Word of God, studying the Word of God, and the Word of God speaks to me very powerfully. And I was deeply moved while I was sharing that. Prior to that, this gentleman, who called himself the rabbi, he brought me a bag of phylacteries. Now, you may know or may not know what a phylactery is. Phylacteries are two cubes I didn't bring to the made of leather that religious Jew pray with. They are called tefillin or prayers, those phylacteries. What is in that phylactery? Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 until 9. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one, and thou shalt love the Lord your God with all your heart, and so on and so forth. He brought me those phylacteries prior to the meeting, and I thought, because the brethren are not familiar so much with Jewish artifacts of worship, I will show and demonstrate the phylacteries there after I finish my message. So I took off my coat and put my phylactery on my left forearm. It says, because the Word of God says that my word shall be as a sign on your hand, on your arm, and as a frontlet between your eyes. In other words, you do the Word of God and you think about it. Now, those phylacteries were enormous. I never seen such phylacteries. You know, the scripture tells us they have enlarged the phylacteries and the borders of the robes, the borders of the prayer shawl. Wide. We know why, because the Lord has even said they have done it for a show off. For a show off. Not all the Pharisees of whom the Lord has problem with were show of people. Many were God-fearing men. It was the hypocrites with whom he had a problem, you know, who has been fighting the word of God and so on. They have not been living the word of God. But the Lord Jesus said, among others, listen to the Pharisees, because they sit in the seat of Moses, but don't do what they are doing. You see, that's the whole point. And today in this world we see it also. People preach and then don't live according to the word of God. Now, so I put the phylactery on. He came and helped me to put the head phylactery on, that it should be exactly the way he understood. And he put the prayer shawl over my head. And so then he took the phylactery from me. He wrapped him up. He said, six times you wrap him up because of the 6 days of the week, and seventh for the Sabbath. That I didn't know. I was raised a Jew. I didn't know even that. Okay, fine. We finished the meeting. We were dismissed. We say goodbye. I went home. He went with the nun. I went with my wife. But what was here interesting? Their religious do that particular group, they call the follower of the Lubavitcher rabbi. They are Jews, so call themselves Jews for Judaism. In other words, keep it all in the family. Keep it all in the family. Don't let them go out. In other words, believe in Jesus and so on. Then it hit me. That group of my Jewish brethren are very zealous Jews. They are zealous, but not according to knowledge, you see, as the Word of God says. What do? That they consider that they earn a merit. And they accost non-practicing Jews. I'm not practicing Judaism anymore. The Lord has delivered me from the phylacteries and from the paraphernalia, most of the paraphernalia that my Jewish brethren still consider are artifacts of holiness. And what do they consider? How do they earn the merit? They place the phylactery, they make the non-practicing Jew to wear the phylactery. And they consider it a merit. In other words, they earned a favor with God. Okay, it hit me only on my way home, what he did. I seen it to be being done by others, Jewish people. But I got also a merit. I shared my faith in Jesus Christ as my Savior. And he heard it. He heard it. He was there. So praise God. I got a merit. He got a merit. No, we don't live by merit. We live by the merit of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who died on the cross for anyone who will believe, first of all, for his Jewish brethren. Remember that? Jesus was a Jew. He died first for his people. He came, he was a historical necessity. He came to reform his brethren. But didn't we have a temple, a priesthood? A religious system? Yes, we did. But that religious system, they thought that the religious system was cool, how they say. But the religious system was phony baloney. And the time came, 37 years after the death of Yeshua of Jesus, the temple was destroyed. My people were killed by the hundreds and thousands. They were sent into the exile. Why? Both temples were destroyed. And my people still observe the date. The date is mid-August every year. They fast and pray and read Jeremiah's Lamentation. They know very well. The first temple was destroyed. Why? Because King Solomon placed idols there. The second temple was destroyed because brother hated brother. That was all. And my people still mourn for the temple. I don't. The Lord delivered me from mourning. He placed a new song in my heart. He may be the temple of the living God because he became my Savior. And so you cannot divide the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. If you're a child of God, the Holy Spirit should and will dwell in your heart. Okay, excuse me for being too much excited, but I am excited. I am excited living for Jesus, sharing his word with my Jewish brethren. And this is, it is not a picnic to be a missionary to the Jewish people. Brethren, if you say that the Jews rejected Jesus, and because of that has happened so much trouble, we have rejected the Father. Jesus came to bring my people back to the Father. But they still kept the religious system, and they still keep it up until today. You know, 10 years after the destruction of the Second Temple, some of the surviving rabbis were permitted by the Romans to start a rabbinical school 1 day walk from Jerusalem in a place called Yavne. And after 10 years of their deliberation, they came out with a new slogan. Since there is no priesthood was disbanded, their temple destroyed, the altar broken up, in pieces. The question was, how shall we atone now, or be atoned, or be forgiven? The only place that they could be atoned was in the temple. So they came up with a new slogan that up until today is the key of the Orthodox Judaism, saying that by prayer, repentance, and good deeds, God will postpone the judgment. For how long? From one atonement to the other. And what in between? We hope so. Brethren, if you only hope so, we never make it. We need to know for sure, if we die tonight, that we go to be with the Lord. And if you're not sure about it, ask the elders. They will make you sure on the basis of the Word of God. And it's heavy words that I'm sharing with you, but this is how it is. You know what my Jewish brethren celebrate today, this week? The memorial of destruction. I am a child of a generation that does not exist anymore. I have survived by God's mercy. For a long time I didn't know why I am alive. All my family, my parents and relatives, they perished. I am still alive. I didn't know why. But then I found out that God wanted me to be a crier, a shouter on the corners of the street, a proclaimer of his holy word to my brethren, the lost sheep of the house of Israel. You remember a few years ago, Campus Crusade had a campaign, Here is Life America, right? You remember? They sent people to all houses, to churches, knocked on doors, and the sign was, I have found it. You remember? The older ones might remember. It was 20 years ago. You know what my Jewish brethren did? They put other signs on their cars. We have not lost it. They don't know that they are lost. I didn't know it, that I was lost, till I have seen people in South America, in the country of Brazil, living for Jesus every day. Well, I was born and raised in a Christian country. Poland is Christian. 90% of Polish people are Catholics. Did they share Jesus with me? No way, Jose. No one told me that Jesus died for me also, brethren. No one. It took God many years that he had to take me to a faraway country among strange people who would live Jesus before me. And that was. I cannot say that I have found him because I wasn't looking for him. But he has. He has found me. And this is why I am here before you, to share that Jesus is real, that he is able to save to the uttermost. And this time when my Jewish brethren remember the 6 million Jews is a very heavy, who perished during the Second World War. It's a very heavy time. And seemingly my Jewish brethren, they have a slogan saying, never again, never again, that you will never again. And they have not forgiven. But I have forgiven because Jesus has forgiven me. I had no choice. I had no choice to forgive the Nazis, to forgive anybody who would do me wrong. And as we have no choice. If you, brethren, have an unforgiving heart, if you bear bitterness in your heart, God will not hear our prayers. If you say the Lord's Prayer, forgive us our sins as we forgive those who trespass against us, brethren, you got to forgive. Otherwise, the Lord will not hear your prayers. And I was compelled to forgive also, even the Nazis, who took my parents, my whole family, brought them to Auschwitz, and they never came out of there. They never came out of there. I have visited Auschwitz 4 times after the war. It's a sinister place. A place, a testimony of human inhumanity. Of a man becoming a wolf to his brother. You know, wolves only kill when they are hungry. But man kills when he is envy, when he is jealous, when he is hateful. This is what has happened to me. But praise God, the Lord has given me a new song. He made me to forgive. He gave me a new hope in my heart. And also a commandment to go and to tell. Whether they would hear or they would forbear. And most of the time they forbear. The door was slammed in my face many a times. The Lord saved my wife and I in South America, a place called Americana, in the state of Brazil. We have met and married in Israel. I came to Palestine, it was then Palestine, in 1946, at this time of the year. So you need how many years already? I came there because there was no hope for me in Poland. The Jewish community of Poland was extinct. There were 3.5 million Jewish people prior to September 1, 1939, who lived in Poland. The cream of the crop of European Jewry was centered in Poland. There were many rabbis and many writers and many people of art. But I have something against my brethren, the rabbis. They said to the Jewish people, don't you dare to go to Palestine, because all there in Palestine, they are non-believers. They don't keep the Sabbath. They don't keep kosher. They do not live according to Jewish tradition. Wait. Well, till the Messiah comes, we will all go together to Palestine. And Messiah Hitler came and killed everybody. That was the end of it. Only those who are not religious, who dared to go against prevailing odds, their life was spared. And Israel became a nation. It is history, but it's still reality. The greetings in the Middle East, shalom, or in Arabic, salam, which means peace in English, but there is no peace. There will be no peace in the Middle East till Jesus comes back. Can you say amen to that? Because it is not a political war there. It's a religious war. It's Islam against Judaism and Christianity. And it will never finish till Jesus comes back. He alone can bring peace between two brothers, between brother and brother, because we are all brothers. And the Arabs also, they call Abraham their father. They call him Ibrahim. We call him Abraham. But it doesn't matter. He is the father of all faithful. Abraham believed in God, and it was counted him for righteousness. What does it mean? God forgave him his sin. God considered him righteous because Abraham obeyed God. And that, if we do obey God, God does consider us right. If we obey God, if we believe that he sent his son, Yeshua, Jesus, to die for our sins, it is his righteousness that we claim, not our righteousness. But we are obliged by the word of God to live a holy life. This week, the synagogue is reading all over, wherever Jewish people gather for prayer. I mean, not Christian Jews, but Jewish Jews. They read the 16th chapter of the book of Leviticus. Let me just open and bring the word of God to you. The 16th chapter of the book of Leviticus is the key to our faith, to our Christian faith as well. It was originally the key to Judaism. To give a shortcut of it, on a certain day, God has commanded, and we know according to Leviticus 23 that the day was the Day of Atonement. You see, the Jewish calendar is not exactly like the Gentile calendar because it's a lunar calendar. So the Atonement Day can be in the beginning of September or beginning of October due to the lunar calendar. So now, but on the Atonement Day, what was the high priest to do? He, in verse chapter 16, we say, the key of it was in verse 5. He shall take from the congregation of the children of Israel two kids of the goats as a sin offering and one ram as a burnt offering. Okay? Now we will deal with the scapegoats, with the two goats. Verse 8. Then Aaron shall cast lots on the two goats, one lot for the Lord and the other lot for the scapegoat. What he was to do with the goat for the Lord? The goat for the Lord, he was to sacrifice it. As we read on, he was to sacrifice and sprinkled also together with the blood of the bull seven times on the mercy seat and before the mercy seat. This is verse 15. Okay? But the key of it is the scapegoat. Aaron, verse 21, shall lay both his hands on the head of the live goat, confess over it all the iniquities of the children of Israel and all their transgressions, concerning all their sins, putting them on the head of the goat, and shall send it away into the wilderness by the hand of a suitable man. Now, there is not all information we have here, but the Talmud gives more information. The Talmud is the oral law that was written down. What does the Talmud say about that goat? You see, the goat of sin offering, whose blood, who was sacrificed in the tabernacle and then later in the temple, the blood of the goat of sin offering, the high priest took a ribbon, a white ribbon, and dipped it in the blood of the goat of the sin offering, and put the ribbon on the horns of the scapegoat. And then, as we read, that he shall send that goat with a faithful man by the hand of a suitable man or a faithful man in the wilderness. Okay? To carry the sins of the people away in the land which is desert. Now, why was the man who was leading the goat in the wilderness a faithful man? Because he had to come back to the high priest and report what he has seen. So the high priest, after the ceremony, he has pronounced the unpronounceable name of God, the so-called in Greek tetragrammaton, by which all the sins of Israel were forgiven for that year. And what happens with the goat? The red ribbon, the blood ribbon, became white. So the man had to go back to the high priest and said, "We have been forgiven." And the high priest announced it to everybody that they have been forgiven. 37 years before the destruction of the second temple. The ribbon, the red ribbon, never became white again. Why? Because this was the year that the Lord Jesus was crucified. And no need more for a scapegoat. He became the scapegoat. He became the sacrifice. He became the last sacrifice, after which no more sacrifices were needed. Praise God. Praise God that we don't have to work our way into heaven by observing the 613 commandments that are depicted on the prayer show of my Jewish brethren. It is salvation by grace through faith in the accomplished work of our Savior. There is not our righteousness that we claim, but the righteousness of our Messiah, who has gone to the cross to die for us. Like we, during the breaking of bread, one of the brethren said that he was made sin for us. He who was no sin, he was made sin for us. Hallelujah. What a Savior. We marvel sometimes how we could be, but that was the mystery of God revealed in His Son, to send His Son to die for our sins. I don't have to preach about you anymore, because the Word of God says it very clearly, that Jesus died for His people and for all who will believe in Him. Now let me tell you something. The last chapter of the Gospel of Matthew, or before I go into it, our brother announced that I had the privilege of speaking at 3 p.m. at Manchester East Hotel at 1065 North Port Washington Road in Glendale at 3 o'clock. So if anyone feels led to come, I would greatly appreciate to pray, because we're trying to invite unsaved Jewish people while I'll be sharing the message of hope, the message as a child who survived the Holocaust. Now, let me just say a few words before I have to sign off. The last chapter of the Gospel of Matthew, it's very, very, very important for every believer. And there is, as we call it, the last commission, or the great commission. Okay? Let me read it to you and elaborate a little bit on it. Okay. Verse 16, Matthew 28, verse 16. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee to the mountain where Jesus had appointed to them. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Okay. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of this age." When did he say that? Before he went up to heaven. How did it all happen? Well, we know that the Lord has risen from the dead after Sabbath on Passover. We call it Resurrection Day. Well, praise God that he has risen. But he rose on the first day of the week after the Passover. Okay. And it was still Passover. Passover is 7 days. And he led his people. No, I'm sorry. He was for 40 days on this earth yet, in his glorified body, okay? But before he disappeared, before he went, he came back to Jerusalem and led his disciples out on the Mount of Ascension. There is a hill of ascension where there is a facsimile of an Arab shrine. They claim that Muhammad went to heaven. I said, baloney. He never went to heaven. He's dead, dead, dead. He never rose from the dead. Only Jesus rose from the dead. Praise God. And there is a little shrine on the hill of ascension in Jerusalem, way close to the Russian church there. And he led his disciples out, and he blessed them. How did he bless them? He gave them the Aaronic blessings, of course. From Numbers chapter 6, saying, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you. The Lord shine his face on you and give you peace. That's what he said to them. And out of no sudden, they saw him being lifted up, and they didn't believe their own eyes. They forgot. Jesus, the Lord says, in my Father's house, there are many mansions. I go there to prepare a place for you, for why am I want you to be also? They plainly forgot. They saw a phenomena, and they forgot. So they were standing around and gaping. And two men in white apparel came up and said, hey, you Babylonian not, Galilean bumpkins, the same Jesus, the way he went up, he will come down with power and in glory. If you don't believe that he will come down, you're playing games with God. Because our faith as believers in Christ is based on several very important facts. Number one, that he was miraculously born. Okay, miraculous birth. His miraculous resurrection. And we expect his miraculous return. Every knee shall bow. Every mouth confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Now, so what happens in Jerusalem? Let me just finish up. After the Lord went to heaven, who stayed in Jerusalem? Three nice Jewish boys. You know them? One name was Yaakov. The other was Yohanan. The third one was Simon, Shimon. In Greek, Peter, James, and John. Okay? They were the pillars of the church. God has put them there. The others went abroad. They were there. God has healed many people through their ministry. They have seen thousands of people being joined to the church in Jerusalem. It was yet before the destruction of the temple. And what else has happened? Thousands and thousands of Jewish people became believers in the Messiah. Now there was a problem. What was the problem? They stopped bringing sacrifices to the temple. And the temple's economy lived and existed by the sacrifices and gifts of the people, of the believers. Jesus is the last sacrifice. Why should I sacrifice anymore? He died for me. I don't need no more sacrifice. So, no sacrifices, no money. Now, Israel was under the Roman. When Jesus rode into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday, what did the people shout? And what is Hosanna? Hosanna means, save us now! Why were they so desperate? Because the Roman whip was over them. The Roman sword was pricking their backs, and the cross was looming right there behind. They were desperate. They say, save us now. And a week later, what did they shout? Crucify him. Because the Lord didn't come to deliver them from the Romans. They came to deliver them from themselves. And all one of us, we are saved from our sins, we are saved from ourselves. Okay, what has happened in Jerusalem? The church has grown. The Messianic congregation, as we call it now, has grown by leaps and bounds. Thousands of people were joined. But they didn't sacrifice anymore. So the economy of the temple was, no money, no taxes to the Romans. And the Romans were holding them like that. They came to the priests, to the Sadducees. They were more old priests. Where is the tax? We haven't got it yet. Ничего нет. The Christians don't sacrifice. What shall we do? So they said to the Romans, do something about it. Do something about it. Go after the Christians. And the Romans started chasing the Christians. Where did the Christian go? To Judea, to Samaria, and to all the ends of the earth. And what did they say? Jesus happened to me. He can happen to you. He healed me. He saved my marriage. He did this. He did that. Now I am living for him and with him. That was the best testimony, brethren. That was what the Lord has commanded to go and to tell, not to sit. They had a comfortable church, brethren. And it speaks to me and to you as well. We cannot only sit in church on Sunday. The Lord still tells us, go out and tell them. Live for Jesus. And tell them that Jesus is the Savior. That He is love. That He cares. But you got to care also. If you only say that He cares and you don't care, your testimony is empty. I got saved. My wife got saved. And of course, because we have seen people's life. They live for Jesus every day. And that's what touched our hearts. That's why the Lord was able to reach us. You think we wanted another religion? No, we had the old time religion of which we were tired. It became dry. We didn't understand it even properly. But when you see Jesus working and living in the life of his children, something must happen, will happen, but you got to live for him. So this is my message for you today, brethren. Live for Jesus. Other people will be touched. Their life will be changed. If your life was changed, their life will be changed. And glory be to God. Let's pray. O God of our fathers, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, we stand before you today on this Lord's Day, not having our own righteousness, but claiming the righteousness of our Messiah. Lord God, who has come in the fullness of time to pay the price for our sins, to die for us that we might have life and have it abundantly. Lord God, we pray for this fellowship, Lord God, that you in your mercy will bless every person here, that they will continue to live for Jesus, that they, Lord God, will share him by their life, by their action, and by the word of mouth with anybody whom you bring on their path. Lord, we just commit this day and each one here to your loving hands, believing and trusting that which you have started in our hearts, you will accomplish until the day of the Lord Jesus Christ, who is coming soon, whose steps we can hear in the air. Lord, dismiss us now with your blessing. We pray this in the precious name of our Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ, and for his sake. And all people would say, amen. Thank you, brethren, for listening to my exciting gibberish. But to God be the glory for it.